is that I care far less. I don't believe that's a coincidence. These are the girls who will get angry and say snide things like, I bet you say that to all the girls, or will find reasons to pick fights with you. Generally, these women are extremely needy, and because of the large investment gap between you two, they will try to project that investment onto you. They will accuse you of being demanding, overbearing, horny, untrustworthy, or weak. These accusations will have little to no bearing on reality, and a non-needy man will either walk away from a girl like this or simply ignore her accusations. The only men willing to put up with such nonsense are men who are needy as well. If a needy man happens to have nice guy syndrome, he'll spend all of his time placating and trying to fix the accusations and problems the girl projects onto him, but which don't actually exist. If the needy man is a fake alpha, then he will usually lash out right back at the girl, and they will engage in a relationship full of petty, unimportant drama, playing out emotions and projecting their histories of pain and marginalization onto each other over and over again, until one of them finally becomes conscious enough to break the cycle and move on. Sometimes this happens quickly, other times it takes months or years. It's always unpleasant. The uncomfortable truth is that the majority of women are going to have high degrees of friction and projection when you meet them. Most of the women you meet, things are simply not going to work no matter what you do. This is fine. This is what is often referred to as incompatibility. Incompatibility is a fact of life. No matter how you behave or what you're into, the majority of women out there are simply not going to be interested. As a result, the reality of incompatibility defines our entire strategy of dating women. To base our strategy on anything else is inefficient at best and downright damaging at worst. The world is what it is. It's our job to simply present ourselves as boldly and clearly to it as possible, accept the reactions, and move on the opportunities. Anything else is a fool's errand. Part 2. Strategy. Chapter 5. Polarization. Quote, any individual who wants to be a leader has to be controversial. Otherwise, they don't stand for anything. Richard Nixon, former President of the United States. In Part 1, we laid out the realities about female attraction and what causes attraction. We learn that male attractiveness is based on how non-needy he is and how comfortable he is expressing his desire and vulnerability. We also learn the limitations of attraction and how most of the women in the world at any given time are not going to be compatible with you, no matter what you do. In Part 2, the goal is to now lay out a real-world strategy based on these theories so that any man can map out a clear way to improve his dating life drastically. The goals of this strategy are efficacy and practicality. This is a strategy based on reality, not based on some sort of mythology about unlocking the secrets of every woman or lofty promises of to be able to sleep with every single hot girl you ever meet. As a result, the strategy in this book deals with realities that a lot of other dating and pickup advice does not deal with, namely rejection, race, age, appearance, shame, honesty, emotional connection. And did I mention rejection? You will get rejected, but don't worry, it's a good thing. A lot of the dating advice, particularly in the pickup artist realm, tries to promise the ability to have sex with any girl you want to, regardless of, well, pretty much anything. You could be a fat slob living in your mother's basement, but with the right 2 to 3 lines, you too can date a lingerie model, as if there's a lingerie model hanging out in every bar. This is a fairy tale. And not only is it's a fairy tale you don't actually want to live. Rejection exists for a reason. It's a means to keep people who are not good for each other apart. Guys don't seem to understand that if a woman rejects him because he's short, or because she doesn't like his hair, or because she finds him boring, then he wasn't going to want to be around her anyway. Again, it's guys with a lot of neediness who are willing to completely alter their personalities in order to seduce any woman. You might as well invite the rejection as a means to weed through the women who are not good for you and get to the ones who you will enjoy that much quicker. But we'll get into that further into the next chapter. The concepts in this part of the book are all based on the information from Part 1. We take the realities of attraction presented there and flesh them out into a coherent strategy for you to use here. Then in the rest of the book, we'll be diving into the nitty-gritty applications of the strategies laid out here in Part 2. So let's start at the beginning. There's an infinite number of women out there. and we can't possibly ever meet or even know them all. So our first task is to find a way to narrow them down and screen them in a way that we can manage how to approach them better. Subtitle: The Three Types of Women. Obviously, you're not going to have interest in having sex with the majority of women in the world, so we can cross out all of the unattractive ones immediately. If you don't find a woman attractive, don't approach her. Don't hit on her. Don't do anything. It's not practice if she's not hot. It's desperation. That said, decide whatever you like in a woman by your own standards. If you like big girls or curvy girls, go for it. If you prefer black girls with dreadlocks, more power to you. If you like older women or younger women, cool. Don't pressure yourself to live up to somebody else's standard. And again, for the love of God, if she's not cute, don't hit on her. Okay, glad we got that out of the way. For practical purposes, we can divide up all women that you're attracted to into three categories: receptive, neutral, and unreceptive. Let's start with unreceptive. Women who are unreceptive are just that. They're unavailable and or uninterested in having a sexual or romantic relationship with you. The most common reasons that put women in this category are the following. You're far more needy than she is, and therefore she's not attracted. She has a boyfriend or a husband and is happy in her relationship. There's too much friction preventing her from being willing to date you, and she's simply not interested in looking for any guy at the moment. The way to tell if a woman is unreceptive is if she does not reciprocate your signs of interest and shows signs of disinterest. If you invite her out for coffee and she insists on bringing one of her friends, then she's unreceptive. If you call her three times and she never calls back, then she is unreceptive. If you hang out with her and she talks about how frustrated she is with her boyfriend and how you're such a good listener, then she's unreceptive. The next category is neutral, difficult for men to understand because we don't really have it. We often know within 3 seconds if we would sleep with a girl or not. Women aren't like that. They spend a lot of time being unsure about a guy and need to be swayed one way or the other. They're fence sitters in many situations. Women in this category are usually women who you've just met or have only spent time with a couple times. The important thing to know is that women do not ever stay in this category. They eventually polarize one way or the other. If you never make an advance or show interest in them, then they will always polarize towards being unreceptive. This is the friend zone, which we'll cover in a minute. Neutral women are generally that, neutral. They will not turn down your offers, but they won't offer or reciprocate themselves. A neutral girl, for instance, if you touch her on the back, will not move away, but she will not move towards you or give you any signal that she likes it. The goal with neutral women is to polarize them through your behavior. This may mean being more aggressive. It may mean flirting with them or teasing them. It may mean asking her to dance or asking for a date. Whatever it is, the goal with neutral women is to take action that forces her to move toward one side of the spectrum or the other. Which side she goes to is less important than actually taking action and forcing her to no longer be neutral. And remember, showing your desires arouses women. Showing neediness turns them off. So it all comes down to how you show them your desire. It comes down to how you polarize them. This, in a nutshell, is what game is. In the final category, women who are receptive are obviously already sexually attracted to you. You can recognize women who are receptive in two ways. They initiate with you, and or they reciprocate willingly. Some examples of a woman initiating with you. She makes strong eye contact with you and does not break it. She approaches you. She touches you unprovoked. She asks for your number or invites you out with her friends. She asks you a lot of questions about yourself and seems genuinely interested. She introduces you to her friends. She gives you her number. She comes up with an excuse, story, or reason for you two to hang out. These are all concrete examples of a woman initiating with you. Chances are, if you're reading this book, many of the girlfriends or sexual experiences you've had with women only happen because she initiated with you. That's fine, but just going about your life, unless you're extremely good-looking or have a great lifestyle or manage to meet women through good social circle contacts, not many women are going to initiate with you, and not very often. In fact, most women, especially hot women, even if they're attracted to you, won't initiate with you. Remember, women tend to be less invested in sex, and they expect men to initiate in the beginning. The other way women demonstrate that they're receptive is when they reciprocate. It's important to recognize the subtle difference between a woman reciprocating your advances and a woman being neutral towards your advances. A woman who is neutral will simply not respond. For instance, if you touch a neutral woman on her back while you speak to her, she'll just act like you're not touching her. A woman who is reciprocating will do something to respond positively to your advance. Think of it as her signaling to you that she accepts your advancing on her, and she likes it. If you touched a woman on the back and she wanted to reciprocate, she would either lean back into you, lean in closer to you, or touch you in return. Here's some other common examples of reciprocation. She ignores her friends to stay and talk with you. She keeps very strong eye contact and laughs a little too much at everything you say. When you touch her, she touches you in return. When you put your arm around her, she leans into you. When you take her hand to move her somewhere, she holds it in return. When you ask her out on a date, she offers a place to go or mentions that something she'd like to do with you. Most interested women will reciprocate to show you that they're interested. Catching on to how women reciprocate and noticing the signals is something that you develop with experience, but it shouldn't be too hard if you know what to pay attention to. A lot of the methods of flirting that we'll cover in Part 5 will discuss the specific ways in which women reciprocate and how to handle them. Unfortunately, the vast majority of women you meet, assuming you're a typical guy, will either be neutral or unreceptive. This is true for the vast majority of the male population, including myself, so don't worry. The percentage of women that you meet in each category will vary widely from man to man and also vary widely depending on where you're meeting women. For instance, you could be a 40-year-old investing mogul, and at networking events or conferences, you may find that 40% or more of women are receptive, and very few make themselves unreceptive or neutral. But that same man could go to a nightclub full of 20-year-olds and soon find that only 5% of women are receptive or neutral, and 95% are unreceptive. This is a concept I call demographics, and I've devoted all of Chapter 8 to it because it's extremely important. But a typical, decent-looking guy in a typical setting will probably garner something like 10% receptive responses, 40% neutral responses, and 50% unreceptive responses. The exact percentages of women falling into each category aren't really that relevant, but it's just a good way to map things out in your head. A lot of men, and even a lot of dating advice books, get caught up in stuff that doesn't matter, such as convincing a married woman to sleep with them, or getting out of the friend zone with a girl, when really, if we look at women as falling into these three categories, it's clear exactly what our goal should be. Subsection: Goals with each type. We're going to have completely different goals with each category of woman. One mistake that many men make when they want to get good with women is that they apply the wrong strategy to the wrong category of women. For instance, they'll try to convince an unreceptive woman to become receptive, or they'll treat a woman who's already receptive as if she isn't yet. Not only is this a time waster, but it's ineffective as well. The goal with unreceptive women is to identify them and move on as quickly as possible. They're time sinks. Typically, if women are unreceptive, they're unreceptive for a good reason, and there's little you're going to do to change that. In fact, in almost every case, if you do stick around and try to change your mind about her availability, you're simply going to demonstrate much more neediness and investment in her, and therefore become less attractive because she'll become even less available to you. I'll say this, in 6 years, after approaching thousands of women and hooking up with hundreds of them, I can think of less than 10 instances where a woman was flat out unreceptive towards me, and I quote unquote won her over. If she shuts you down, tells you to go away, tells you she's not interested, tells you she has a boyfriend, move on. Seriously, get over it and move on. You're wasting your time. There are 3.1 billion women on this planet. She's not worth it. The two most common time sinks with unreceptive women are the friend zone and women in relationships. The friend zone occurs when a woman has categorized you as a friend and not a potential lover. For women, these categories are mutually exclusive. A guy is either a friend or a potential boyfriend slash husband, rarely both. There are exceptions, but they are very rare. Once in this zone, it's almost impossible to get out. Yes, it is possible to get out of the friend zone, but honestly, for our purposes here, know that the amount of effort required to get out is rarely worth it. The friend zone typically occurs when a man meets a receptive or neutral woman, but never makes a move. As mentioned earlier, women never stay neutral and will eventually polarize into either the receptive or unreceptive categories. If you don't act, they will slowly drift into the unreceptive category. Why? Because a man who does not act on his sexual urges is a man who is needy and therefore unattractive. A classic yet painful example of the friend zone happened with a friend of my most recent girlfriend. When I met her, she was moving into her new apartment. There were two guys helping her move in. One was a tall fellow, who obviously seemed eager to please her and help as much as he could. It did not take long to recognize that he behaved quite needy around her and made poor attempts to flirt with her, which she did not reciprocate. She, of course, being an attractive girl, was not highly invested back, and so I immediately pegged him as in her friend zone. As it turned out, I was right. This guy hated me the whole time I dated her, and after we broke up and remained friends, he refused to let her talk about me around him. During this period, he made numerous attempts to get with her, sometimes going as far as having tearful proclamations that he had been in love with her for years. Needless to say, all of these attempts turned her off, and she shut down. It harmed the friendship quite a bit. They had been friends with each other for over 4 years, and the degree of investment he was showing, even despite his behavior, the fact that he spent 4 years working up the nerve to make a move, subcommunicated a huge degree of neediness. Obviously, she shot him down, so he became angry. And perceiving me to have been an asshole who didn't treat her well, he decided to try to be an asshole who didn't treat her well either. He was disrespectful towards her and would blatantly try to kiss her with no regard for what she thought or felt. Once again, despite being completely opposite behavior on the surface, he was acting this way because he was still incredibly needy and highly invested. This strained the friendship, and she told him that he had to either stop or she would not be friends with him anymore. The friend zone is the biggest possible time sink because most guys who are stuck in it entertain fantasies that they're simply waiting for the inevitable to occur. Their perspective is that they are the perfect man for her, and one day when she wakes up and realizes how foolish she's being, she'll realize that the love of her life has been sitting right there by her all along. This never happens. Ever. If you are in this situation now, you need to get it out of your head and move on. Immediately. Typically, if guys have been friends with a girl for even a month or two without ever explicitly indicating their sexual interest, it's usually too late. You must indicate some sort of sexual interest early on. Otherwise, the longer you wait, the harder it gets, and the more likely she will be unreceptive to you. Again, ask yourself what waiting 4 years to state your interest in a girl subcommunicates to her. It subcommunicates, "I am so highly invested in you that I spent 4 years working up the nerve to show you interest." It's extremely unattractive, and chances are she's known you've been interested the whole time but too afraid to show it, which in turn makes you even further unattractive. The second time sink that men get sucked into constantly is women who are happily in a relationship. Unlike the friend zone, where men will often waste away months or years, a woman in a relationship will usually only waste a few hours, or maybe a few weeks at most. But still, a time sink's a time sink. A popular myth from the pickup artist community is the idea that any woman will cheat on her boyfriend or husband, given the right circumstance. This isn't true, and even in cases that it is true, it's not worth the time or effort. Research has shown that only about 30% of women will cheat at some point of their lives. It also shows that women only cheat when they're already unhappy with their relationships. My experience has shown this to be true as well. I've never hooked up with a girl who was married or had a boyfriend who was happy in her relationship when she decided to cheat. It was only women who were incredibly unhappy with their relationships who did it. I had little to nothing to do with it. The reason is simple. A woman who is happy in her relationship is going to be insanely low invested in the attention and affection she receives from other men, like rock bottom low. Because these women are so lowly invested, it's more or less impossible to even be less invested than they are. Add to that the friction of cheating and hiding the fact that you're cheating, and a happily married woman is more or less impossible to poach, unless she wants to be, that is. What a lot of men don't understand, though, is that often married or taken women will still flirt with other men for no other reason than they think it's fun and they like the attention. If a woman is married or has a boyfriend and seems pretty happy in general and is flirting with me, or is drunk, then I don't take the flirting too seriously. Guys also struggle a lot with the rejection, "I have a boyfriend." Guys seem to get obsessed about whether this is actually true or not. Once again, it's not about whether her statement is factual or not. It's about her intention. The intention is, "I'm not interested." Take that at face value and move on. Even if she doesn't have a boyfriend, there's no point in trying to win over a girl who is willing to lie about something like that to you. And if she does have a boyfriend, then she's probably happy with him. Otherwise, she wouldn't have brought it up. And that's really the crux of the matter. Women who have boyfriends or husbands who are willing to cheat on them don't bring up their boyfriends or husbands. Ever. Typically, you'll hear about them either immediately before or immediately after you hook up with them. If they tell you about them right when you meet them, then they're not interested. If they tell you about their boyfriend while they're making out with you in the cab on the way back to your apartment, then she's probably interested in you. But you don't need me to tell you that. So your mission with unreceptive women is to spot them as quickly as possible and then politely move on. Rejection in this case is often your friend, as we'll see later. It's not until you find a woman who is neutral or better that things begin to get interesting. Put succinctly, the goal with neutral women is to get them to stop being neutral as soon as possible. As we mentioned earlier, women who are neutral and who stay neutral tend to eventually end up unreceptive. The way to get them to become receptive is to demonstrate that you're less needy than you are than they are. You demonstrate this by expressing your vulnerability and your identity to them freely. When you express your truth to women, you will polarize them. They will either become receptive to you, or they will make themselves unreceptive. When you express your truth, if you express more neediness in them, then they will not be attracted and will therefore be unreceptive. Also, if you express your truth and there is a high amount of friction between yourself and her that cannot be overcome, then she will become unreceptive. If you express your truth and demonstrate not only that you're not needy, but also frictionless for her, similar interests, values, life situation, etc., then she will become very receptive. A big misconception men have is that they need to behave in a way that makes every woman like them. This is counterproductive, because by altering your behavior to fit whatever she wants means that you are hiding your truth, not being vulnerable, and therefore being needy and unattractive. Other men often stick to plain jokes and safe topics of conversation that end up not polarizing at all for fear of being rejected. This is also a form of hiding one's truth, not showing vulnerability and being needy, and therefore not being attractive. This is the plight of the nice guy. He's afraid of inciting an emotional response in anybody, much less women, and especially himself. Therefore, he'll play it safe and elicit neutral reactions from woman after woman. And when women are neutral for too long without being polarized, then they will make themselves unreceptive. If there is one thing that fake alphas accomplish well, it's that they will polarize women quickly. Women will know more or less immediately if they're interested in a fake alpha or not, because he will be so overbearing and imposing, she'll have no choice other than to feel something for him. The fake alpha's problem is that few women who become receptive to him are not the type of women who are pleasant to be around. They're highly needy and highly invested. As you can see, neutral women are where so-called game comes into play. Having good game means that you can take a woman who is neutral in her attraction towards you and incite her to become attracted. You do this by making yourself vulnerable, sharing yourself unabashedly, and polarizing her one way or the other, and being comfortable with whichever result. The exact specifics of sharing your truth and making yourself vulnerable will be described in detail throughout the book. Again, we're still laying the theoretical foundation here. Finally, we have the receptive women. Finding these are the best because they require the least amount of effort. You escalate. You make a move. You move things forward, assuming you want to, of course. Receptive women who are originally neutral, if you do not make a move and become physical with them soon enough, they will often drift back to neutral and then the unreceptive permanently. But I've found that women who are receptive to you to begin with will usually stay receptive almost indefinitely. I think these are the only rare occasions when you can actually pry yourself out of the friend zone. These rare circumstances when she was always receptive to you, but for whatever reason, you two weren't able to be together. You had a girlfriend, or she moved away for 3 years, or whatever. The percentage of women who are receptive to you will increase proportionally to the quality of your lifestyle, your social status, and your looks. The percentage of women that you're able to move from neutral to receptive will be proportional to how good your game is, or how well you're able to communicate and express yourself with women. And your ability to sort through each type of woman and meet as many as possible will be determined by how fearless and bold you are when it comes to meeting women. Most pickup advice obsesses over the avoidance of rejection. Rejection plays an integral process in my strategy. It's unavoidable, so I figure we may as well develop a strategy that uses it to help us. Rejection exists for a reason. If you're a professor at a prestigious university, then you're probably not going to enjoy your time with a high school dropout with an alcohol problem. Just because she has a nice ass doesn't mean you want to be with her. Why you would put in the effort to incite a high school dropout with an alcohol problem to become interested in you is beyond me. Polarizing women into rejecting us, and when I say us, I mean the real us, the vulnerable and unabashed us, does us a favor by sorting which women who are going to make us happy. Guys often want to have it both ways. They want to be able to avoid painful rejections, avoid saying something stupid, avoid embarrassing themselves, while at the same time being this attractive, amazing guy who women fall to their knees for. You can't have it both ways. The two go together. You cannot be attractive and life-changing presence to some women without being a joke or an embarrassment to others. You simply can't. You have to be controversial. You have to polarize. It's the name of the game. And getting good at the game is learning to open yourself up enough emotionally, learning to express your honest self enough and be comfortable enough with your vulnerability to take those embarrassing moments with the moments of passion. A willingness to polarize is not easy, but it's necessary. It's why you're here right now. Subsection: Polarizing to Attract. Our primary strategy with women is polarization. The basic idea is that the more forthright you are about who you are, how you feel, and what you think, the more this is going to weed out unreceptive women from the receptive women, as well as push neutral women to get off the fence and decide how they feel about you. The amazing thing about polarization is the simple act of doing it demonstrates non-neediness and will then inspire more neutral women to become receptive than other strategies or tactics. Like I mentioned earlier, the most common strategy guys who are inexperienced with women is, quote-unquote, to be liked by all, hated by none. But when it comes to being intimate and attracting women, this is a horrible strategy. Being hated by nobody usually means that you're not loved by anybody either. The men who employ this strategy employ it because they're trying to avoid confrontation and controversy. Many of these men have been avoiding confrontation and controversy their entire lives. It's part of their fear of vulnerability. The fact is that sexuality, attraction, and relationships are by their very nature confrontational and controversial. You have to either make the decision to accept being controversial and confrontational, or you need to accept that you will go through life with everyone being neutral towards you. Polarization is what occurs when you express your truth and make yourself vulnerable. When you tell a woman she is beautiful, you are polarizing her. When you tease her about her earrings and put your arm around her, you are polarizing her. When you wear a custom-made suit out to a nightclub, you're polarizing women. When you tell a woman who's late to a date to never be late again, you're polarizing her. These are never wrong moves, assuming that they're honest expressions of yourself and you are showing your vulnerability. A man who is highly invested and needy is going to alter his behaviors based on the woman he's talking to. He's going to be afraid to tell her that he doesn't accept her being late. He's going to be afraid to wear that suit out. He's going to be timid when he wants to put his arm around her. He's going to be unable to make himself vulnerable, express his truth, and will therefore not polarize her. And the women he does meet, he'll be handed a one-way ticket to the friend zone every time. A man who's uninhibited about expressing his emotions and what he wants will demonstrate less investment and less neediness, thereby attracting a woman and immediately forcing her to decide whether she's receptive or unreceptive. And chances are, unless there's a lot of friction present, she'll become receptive. You'd be surprised how many women will respond with attraction to nothing other than a man who is bold and willing to make a move. A lot of men get the sense that this means inviting a mountain of rejection onto you. The surprising thing is this is rarely the case. Yes, you will get rejected when you polarize women. And yes, every once in a while it will be a harsh rejection. But surprisingly, a lot of women will react very warmly to these advances. Remember, women are turned on by men who desire them. They are also turned on by the behavior of high status. When you're expressing your truth and showing shameless desire for her, you are demonstrating both of these qualities that turn her on. Often women who had absolutely no interest in meeting you before will suddenly become uncontrollably attracted to you. In my experience, the more polarizing a person is, the more they are flooded with opportunities to have sex and date women. The biggest mental hurdle to this for many men is the ability to handle rejection. A lot of men have had it ingrained to them all their lives, and even by other dating advice, that rejection is terrible and should be avoided at all costs, that players and alphas, or whatever you want to call them, don't get rejected ever. And as we'll see, this is not true at all. Chapter 6: Rejection and Success. Quote, "I have failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeed." Michael Jordan. Show me someone who is successful at anything, and I'll show you someone who has been rejected and failed more than you can ever know. Show me a guy, any guy, who's good with women, and I'll show you a guy who's been shut down by more women than you can possibly imagine. Show me a guy who gets laid all the time, and I'll show you a guy who gets rejected all the time. Guaranteed. It was Austin, Texas, probably winter of 2007, the harshest rejection of my life. I was out with my best childhood friend late on a Friday night. I see two cute girls dancing by themselves. I approach. I lightly touch one of them on the shoulder. She spins around. Get the fuck away from me! Don't you ever fucking touch me! Whoa, chill out. I didn't even do anything. I try to blurt out in between her shrieking. I'm not heard, though. She shoves me while screaming. I grab her arms to try to calm her down. The slap comes hard and fast. Totally uncalled for. Get the fuck away from me! Don't you ever fucking touch me again! Before I know it, the bouncers are removing me from the bar. I didn't even do anything. I don't even know her, I say. Shut up and get out before we call the cops. It'd be weeks before I'd work up the courage to approach again. Another night, another bar. This was probably sometime in 2006. I'm talking to a super cute blonde, college girl, sorority, ditzy as hell and a true pain to interact with. You know those people who interrupt you constantly and redirect every possible topic of conversation back to some inane story about themselves? She was one of those. It was like being socially waterboarded. But she was hot, and I was inexperienced and needy and crazy horny, and honestly, I had nothing better to do. So I talked to her, painfully and begrudgingly. Somewhere in between trying to decide whether to drown myself in alcohol, or to drown her in alcohol, or to stab myself in the face with a broken beer bottle, or to stab her, she let loose this little gem. By the way, thanks for not being ugly. I was so disenchanted with this girl that my frail ego completely disregarded the compliment, and I honed in on what was so shallow, so immature, that I just couldn't stand by idly any longer. Excuse me? I asked. I said, thanks for not being ugly. I imagine my mouth fell open here, but of course she disregarded my incredulity and continued. See, no offense, but talking to guys in bars is so boring, and tonight, nothing but these hideously ugly guys have been talking to me and buying me drinks, but at least you're not ugly. At least. She continues, to be honest, I can't stand ugly people. Like, it seriously hurts my soul to look at ugly people. Like, I honestly feel physical pain if I have to look at an ugly person. I couldn't contain it anymore. You must not own many mirrors, then. Her face, disbelief, horror, then anger. In that order, half a second max. Then her fruity drink came flying onto my face, followed by a dainty slap. Asshole! She stormed back to her friends. When I first started going out and trying to pick up girls, I used to be horrified of rejection. And more specifically, the idea of getting slapped or a drink thrown on me, or getting thrown out of a bar, these were all nightmares that would probably have made me visibly shake at the thought of them happening. But both of these memories are still bright in my mind, as they are some of the most important learning experiences I've ever had, even more important than many of my successes. Being slapped by a girl is not always the end of the interaction. It's simply an emotional response. And as a highly emotional response, I'll always take being slapped over indifference or boredom any day. It's polarizing, and polarizing women is more important than being pleasant to them. Being slapped also taught me that you can't always control how people react to you. Some people are completely out of their minds, or they behave very inappropriately. You can't help this. You cannot control what happens in every interaction. The sooner you accept this, the better off you will be. Sometimes you'll deserve being slapped. Sometimes you won't. I regret absolutely nothing I said to the sorority girl that night. The drink in my face and the slap were totally worth it. As a man of truth, that's a value I stood up for. I don't tolerate superficial people. And even though that girl hated me for it and threw a drink in my face, that was far more satisfying than it would have been to put up with her bullshit for hours on end just to get a lousy lay. As with any failure, it's not until you've been rejected a certain amount that you realize how insignificant it actually is. How you spent so much time worrying about nothing, now you're free to act however you choose. When I started this journey, I was as horrified of rejection as just about anybody I've ever met. I had terrible approach anxiety. I was the consummate nice guy, always trying to keep things smooth and pleasant. The reason men fear rejection is because they're operating on other people's truths, not their own. In fact, men who fear rejection tend to be oblivious to their own truth, because if they were aware of their own desires, needs, and values, what would they have to be afraid of? Why would they ever hesitate to expose their vulnerability to others? Most men with weak grasp of their truth fantasize about the ability to never be rejected again. Not only is this a massive manifestation of their insecurity, but it's not realistic. Being rejected saves me so much time and effort. If I had to go on a date with every single girl I found even mildly attractive, I'd probably lose my mind, not to mention have no time for doing the other things I care about. Most women you meet, you're not going to click with. But if she doesn't do you the favor of rejecting you, it's going to take 4 hours to figure it out rather than 4 minutes. For instance, take the sorority girl. I said what I said and was fine, even pleased with that rejection for one reason. I was aware of my values and I stood by them. Meanwhile, the girl in Texas who screamed at me seriously bothered me. I was less experienced then, and her rejection was harsh and treated me as if I was some sort of sexual predator. At the time, I was not confident in expressing my sexuality and had not established boundaries of having no interest in angry, frantic women like that. For that reason, I got very upset over the episode. I imagine if that happened to me today, I'd probably laugh, shake my head, and quietly walk to the next bar, thankful that she had made her true character known so early, and I didn't have to waste half my night to find out she was such a bitch. Subsection: The Treasure Hunt. Let's do a thought experiment. Take 1,000 random women in your city. Out of that 1,000 women, you'll probably find 200 to 300 physically attractive, or physically attractive enough to get to know better. Remember, we have to throw out the grannies, the fat chicks, the girl who hasn't bathed in a week, etc. Only women you find physically attractive. So let's say 250. Out of those 250, probably 125 are available. And out of that 125, probably 50 would be interested in going on a date with you, especially if you presented yourself well, polarized, and was frank about your intentions. Up to this point, we're already down to 50 out of 1,000, and literally none of it has been in your control at all. In fact, if you were to go on blind dates with all 1,000 women, it would be a giant crapshoot to even get to one that there was even mutual attraction with, 1 out of 20 to be exact. Even if each date only lasted a couple hours, it would probably take an entire week before you finally met one where there was mutual interest. And keep in mind, these numbers don't mean some loser guy in his mom's basement. These numbers are probably pretty accurate for you, for me, or for anybody. The fact of the matter is, I'm not interested in 3/4 of the women I see, and out of that 1/4 I'm interested in, more than half are either unavailable or not very compatible with me. And that's fine. Remember, success here is defined by how fast we can sort through the women who won't work for us, not our ability to get every single one we see. So take that 50 that there's mutual attraction for up front. Probably 20 of them would be duds once you got to know them better. Women who you just didn't click with for whatever reason. She has different interests than you, different values, etc. And out of the remaining 30, probably another 20 aren't compatible with you past a couple of dates. Religious differences, inconvenient work situations, different views on relationships, she's bipolar, or whatever. Side note, if all you want is one night stands, then you could probably have a legitimate shot with the 50 in which there's mutual attraction. But if you want something more, then we're quickly narrowed down to the 10. That leaves 10 with serious relationship potential. By serious relationship potential, I mean beyond 2 or 3 months together. Now, these numbers are very rough estimates, and they're going to vary depending on the person and the environment, but I don't think they're unreasonable. For every 100 women walking around in your everyday life, there's one woman out of that 100 who can, and will, if you so choose, theoretically make you supremely happy for a significant period of time. There are 5 out of that 100 that would theoretically sleep with you. The catch? They don't show up to your doorstep in a FedEx box. As a man, you have to go out and find her. This is what I call the treasure hunt, and if you treat it like a treasure hunt, it can actually become pretty fun. The point is, 95% of the places you look are going to give you nothing. But every place you look and don't find what you're looking for will give you more of a clue of where you should look next. What stops the vast majority of men out there from going out and getting what they want and deserve in their love lives is that they take rejection, failure, and incompatibilities personally, as if it says something true about them. The only truth about you is what you decide about yourself. And the more truth you know about yourself, the more you'll be unaffected by others' reactions to you, and the more attractive you'll become. The problem is, there are millions of women out there, and only a small percentage at any given time are going to be receptive to sleeping with you or dating you. You can either go out and find the best one possible, or sit around and hope for one to show up on your doorstep. But if you go out there, you have to understand the game you're playing. You're going to miss a lot. You're shooting free throws from half court. You're playing golf from 1,000 yards away. You're bowling on a 500-foot lane. You're going to miss 95% of these shots. It's time to get used to it. In fact, you've always been missing 95% of your shots. The problem is that you've been purposely taking as few shots as possible because you can't stand to admit that you're missing. If you just admit that you're going to miss most of the time, then you can start shooting as much as you want. You're going to whiff on most women you meet, over and over and over again. But that's okay, because every miss gets you closer to the mark. Every failure gets closer to your treasure. And when you accept that, things can actually become pretty fun. I imagine most guys, when they first read this, will get a little intimidated. Oh my god, 99 failures? This sounds awful. It's really not. Those failures often happen in intriguing and hilarious ways, not to mention that you'll learn and improve from every single one. This is a weird analogy, but I think it works. When I was a kid, my friends and I would pull out a blender and mix all sorts of weird stuff in it to try and invent a new drink. We'd take soda, milk, peanuts, strawberries, orange juice, and gummy bears, throw them all into a blender, and then try to drink it. It was usually absolutely disgusting. In fact, it was just about always disgusting. But every once in a while, we'd stumble across something that tasted really interesting or great. Regardless of what happened, though, we always had a ton of fun. Each woman is a concoction of flavors, whipped together into her own unique personality and style. What we do as men is taste test them. Many of them will be gross. Some of them will be interesting, but not very good. Some of them we'll love, but they'll be bad for us. Others we'll love and never want to stop drinking. The goal is to find that magical combination that we never want to stop drinking. But before that, we have to go through hundreds of other combinations. But it actually sounds kind of fun, right? Subsection. It's usually not about you. As soon as you realize that 90% of this picking up women stuff has nothing to do with you, is the moment you're free to pursue what you want without hesitation or fear. When you get out there and start meeting a lot of women, you'll begin to notice that there's a lot to be said about meeting the right person at the wrong time. I can't tell you how many times I've met an amazing woman, but some circumstance was standing in the way. Maybe that she's on vacation and flying 2,000 miles home tomorrow. Or that she just got back together with her long-term boyfriend and doesn't want to screw it up. Or that her dog just died and she really doesn't feel like talking tonight. Or that her ex-boyfriend has been calling her and harassing her and she just wants to be left alone with her girlfriends. Or that the last guy who came up and talked to her grabbed her ass so she's upset. Or the guy she went out with last night was totally rude and looked just like you. Or it's that time in the month and she's irritable and annoyed with the whole dating thing right now. There are a million extraneous circumstances completely outside of your control at any given time. A large chunk of the women you meet and talk to are going to be experiencing one of them. The best you can do is to let it go and remember, it's not about you. Dating is random. It's like a slot machine made of women. We're shooting for that 5 in 100, so the faster you move along to the woman who's receptive to you, the better off everybody's going to be. Seriously, the difference between being good with women and being bad with women is often only the difference between 8% and 1%. Either way, you're still failing over 90% of the time, so get used to it. This is why we approach based on our truth. This is why we polarize women as soon as possible. This is why we approach women looking to see if she fits our values and needs and not the other way around. Most men, when they approach women, they approach thinking something like, oh, I hope she likes me, or I hope she doesn't embarrass me or reject me. It's all about them. And therefore, when things don't go anywhere, the men take it personally. They get upset, or angry, or butthurt that this random stranger with tits isn't interested right now. But as we've learned, there are an infinite number of extraneous circumstances that we can't control, and we already know that the vast majority of women aren't compatible with us in any significant way anyway. So we must remove ourselves from the equation. Instead of thinking, I wonder if she'll like me, think, I wonder what she's like. Instead of thinking, I hope she doesn't reject me, think, I wonder if we'll have an adventure together. The beauty is that whether she falls in love with you on the spot or she throws a drink in your face, you've succeeded. You found out the truth. Your curiosity is fulfilled, and you can now decide whether you should move on or not. This mindset is easier said than done. All of part 4 is devoted to learning how to put this into practice in your life. Subsection. Men who only experience rejection. There are a minority of men who experience only rejection. These men have gone out regularly, approached many women, and come home empty-handed time after time after time. Often they've listened and tried to use ineffectual pickup techniques and tactics, dressed up and adopted entire philosophies that didn't suit them. Without fail, every single man who I meet who receives only rejection is receiving it because he's nowhere near his truth. He's gone out, approached hundreds or sometimes thousands of women, and barely had any results to speak of. Often these guys are decent-looking, successful, and smart, and seem to have their lives together, but literally not a single woman they meet is interested in them. How can this be? My contention is that these men are severely disassociated from their true identity. They've got massive amounts of emotional baggage that they're oblivious to, yet it permeates all of their interactions. They have a horrible lack of self-awareness of their emotional needs that are motivating them. Their life and actions are built on conditionality. I have this job so that people will respect me. I approach these women so that I can feel important. I want to have sex with hot girls to know that I'm valuable. These motivations and more are going on in the background at all times for them, yet they'll remain oblivious to them. They're typically extremely needy and desperate, seeking approval without knowing why and with a complete disregard to how they go about it. But worst of all, these men tend to lack an ability to integrate feedback. So for instance, if they approach a few women with a technique that they read online and these women all tell them that they find them creepy and awkward, instead of evaluating why the women found them creepy and weird, they decide that the technique must not work and move on and try another one. They never stop to consider that the woman was telling them that their intentions and neediness, their complete inability to be vulnerable and show their truth is what is creepy, not what they actually said. Unfortunately, these men are usually beyond help within dating advice. When I tell them that what I've written here, they always respond with, "Oh, I know why I want these women. I've got my life together. It's the techniques that don't work. Give me the techniques that work." Ironically, it's the same complete lack of personal responsibility and complete lack of self-awareness that is unable to accept feedback that drives the women away from them. These men seek to deceive women about their intentions because these men actively deceive themselves about their intentions. Until they stop deceiving themselves, it's impossible for them to ever stop deceiving women, and therefore let go of their neediness. They're terrified of confronting their sexuality, their desire to be loved and love. So they hide behind techniques and intellectualizing the process of picking up women. Deceiving a woman who is not interested in you into hopefully becoming interested in you is only setting yourself up for more punishment and disastrous failures down the road, which then leads to further rejection. Subsection. Redefining success. The concept of success in modern dating advice is pretty skewed. It's influenced on the one side from traditional roles and rules. Get a nice girlfriend, get married, etc. And on the other side, by unrealistic expectations and social pressures. To be the man, you have to bed dozens of women. That you should never be rejected. That you should be banging models and quote-unquote tens, etc. Whereas conventional wisdom would tell you that success with women isn't determined by you, but by women themselves. Women alone choose the guys who, quote-unquote, have it, while others are left to pick up the leftovers. Other conventional wisdom tells us that success with women is determined by wealth or looks. All these things certainly play a significant role, as we'll see, but to define our success by it is a bit extreme and short-sighted. Men put a lot of pressure on one another to be successful, and the idea of walking up to a random girl that you don't know and being rejected by her is ridiculed and often a source of embarrassment by many. Even within the dating advice and so-called dating science of pickup artists, they start digging into open-to-close ratios, hook percentages, and other esoteric numbers that are meant to measure your quote-unquote success of meeting dating and women as a skill. Some guys track how many women they talk to, kiss, or even sleep with, going so far as to even keep spreadsheets. I'm not chastising this behavior. It can actually be beneficial when used in proper context. I'm just saying it's a poor objective measure of success. Choosing how we define success with women is vitally important. If you choose the wrong way to define success for yourself, then the months or years of effort you go into achieving that goal will go to waste. And we're not just talking about the metric in which we're going to put a vast amount of time and effort into. We're talking about the health of our emotional lives. Women and relationships are one and the same with our emotional health. And so the way in which we perceive women and relationships is going to be reflected in our emotional well-being. If you choose to believe that success with women is determined by which woman chooses you or how much money you can provide, well, then there's a good chance that you're going to be quite lonely, followed by ending up with the nearest woman capable of tolerating you for a lifetime. If you choose to believe that success with women is a lay count or other statistical data, then your love life will become just as objectified as the women you meet. And although you'll have the quantity of interactions to back you up on paper, all emotional quality will be lost, along with your happiness. I define success in a qualitative way, maximizing happiness with whichever woman or women for each individual. Success equals maximizing happiness with whichever woman or women we prefer. This may seem like an obvious statement, but the implications are actually quite profound. For most of the men in the world, their success with women is defined by one of the following: to never be rejected, to date a woman who is more attractive than his friend's girlfriends, how many women they can approach or have a date with, quantity of women rather than the quality of women, if she fits the stereotype of what beauty is, if she's the kind of woman you've been raised to think you should date. When we define success as finding the woman or women who will maximize our happiness, our approach takes a completely new light. Instead of seeking women for a woman to select us, instead of racking up numbers, instead of winning bragging rights, and instead of avoiding rejections, our success is defined by screening through as many women as possible until we find the ones that we enjoy. We screen through these women by polarizing them. We polarize them by sharing our truth with them openly and freely. And when we do this, women will either become incredibly attracted to us or they will reject us. Either way, they'll respect us. And not only do we pursue and polarize the women we believe who will make us happy, but we push the interaction. Too many men become satisfied with how many women they can approach or how many phone numbers they can collect. This is not success. This is not success because you are not maximizing your relationships with these women. You are not dating them, sleeping with them, becoming intimate with them, or even committing to them. You're just validating yourself with how many phone numbers you can get. So it's time to get into the nitty-gritty. So far, we've spent most of the book talking about theory. Whether we get any specific woman or not depends on our level of neediness relative to hers. We kill our own neediness by showing our vulnerability freely. We express our vulnerability by sharing our truth. There are three ways in which we share our truth with women, and those three ways will make up the bulk of this book. The three ways are: 1, living based on our values; 2, becoming comfortable with our intentions; and 3, by expressing our sexuality freely. The first way of expressing our truth involves developing a lifestyle and making us happy. The second way of expressing our truth is by being courageous and fighting through our fears and anxieties. And the third way of expressing truth is by communicating well and being uninhibited in our sexuality. I refer to these as the three fundamentals. Chapter 7, The Three Fundamentals. The three fundamentals are the three ways in which a man can express his truth and display a lack of neediness. Improving each one of the three fundamentals will improve your results, sometimes drastically. Each of the three fundamentals can be worked on independently, but as we'll see later, improving one of the three often indirectly benefits the other two and vice versa. The three fundamentals are: creating an attractive and appealing lifestyle, overcoming your fears and anxiety around women, and mastering the expression of your emotions and communicating fluidly. The way to improve each of these fundamentals is by drilling deeper into your vulnerability in each one of them. So one way to think about it is that the fundamentals are the categories in which you can improve your ability with women and general well-being, and expressing your vulnerability and seeking truth is the process in which you improve the categories. For short, I refer to the three fundamentals as honest living, honest action, and honest communication. For instance, honest living, or creating an attractive lifestyle, involves really drilling down and understanding what you want as a man for your life. If you're in a job you hate, with hobbies you hate, and friends you don't like, then no matter what you do or how much money you make, you're going to have a hard time meeting attractive women that you enjoy and who enjoy being with you. There are specific reasons for this that we'll get into, but the overarching reason is that you're not living your life honestly to yourself. If your true passion is art and you push paper around at an insurance firm, then you're not living honestly with yourself. You've compromised your identity in some way to fit what others have dictated it should be. In this case, you've given up what actually makes you happy in order to fit to the values and roles of other people in society. Having a stable job, working in the corporate world, having a nice house or car, etc. This displays a lack of vulnerability and a lot of neediness. If those things aren't actually important to you, then you have a responsibility to yourself to change. Otherwise, you're always going to be a needy man. How so? Because you're living 40 hours a week, every week, investing your identity in what others want of you and not what you want of yourself. This is like baseline neediness, and until you straighten this out, you will be needy with every woman you meet, preventing you from meeting truly amazing women that you could potentially be with one day. Honest living correlates directly to the quality of women that you will attract. The more in tune you are to your lifestyle, the more you take care of your appearance and your health, the higher quality of women you will attract and the greater percentage of receptive women you'll meet. Honest action is overcoming your fear and anxiety around women. Our anxiety is another form in which we highly invest ourselves in others and avoid our truth. Like lifestyle, it also seems to almost be embedded in us and something that requires a lot of thought and effort to repair over a longer period of time. I call it honest action because it is honesty in the strictest terms. If you see a beautiful woman and have a desire to meet her, to not take action and to meet her is a form of dishonesty to yourself. If you're standing in a bar and you see a cute girl and you keep looking at her all night, afraid to do something, on a deep level, you're being dishonest to your intentions and to your sexuality. You're being needy and unable to expose your vulnerability. All fear around your sexuality is a result of neediness. If you're afraid to approach a woman, it's because somewhere in you, you are more invested in her opinion of you than you are of yourself. If you're afraid to ask a girl to come home with you, it's because you're afraid of the sexual reality that you want to sleep with her. You're more invested in her not rejecting you than you are in aligning yourself with your own desires. Overcoming your fear and anxiety also probably has the greatest correlation with a guy's overall results with women. The reason being, once a guy gets over his fear of rejection, he's willing to more or less pursue any woman that he finds he wants. Even if he's a deadbeat, i.e. lacks a good lifestyle, or even if he's terrible at expressing himself, i.e. lacks good communication skills, he will eventually meet women who want to date him and sleep with him by no other means than pure numbers. If he's willing to approach 500 women in a week with no fear of rejection, eventually at least one of them is going to stick. Honest action correlates to the quantity of women you attract and the speed at which you attract them. The third fundamental is honest communication, or learning to express yourself freely and effectively. This is what most dating advice sells and classifies as quote-unquote game. A good sense of humor, the ability to connect with people, telling stories, engaging people's attention, having charisma, and expressing your sexuality openly. These are all parts of this fundamental. I call it honest communication because it's learning how to communicate your true intentions and emotions. Often we have certain thoughts or feelings, but we don't know how best to convey those thoughts or feelings. This third fundamental focuses on how to do that. Honest communication will determine the efficiency in which you are able to seduce women, as well as the compatibility of women you seduce. What I mean by efficiency to seduce is that a man with poor communication skills may have 10 women attracted to him, but because he can't convey his thoughts and emotions well, he'll only end up hooking up with one of them. On the other hand, a man who communicates superbly well may convert 7 or 8 of those 10 women into becoming sexually involved with him. Subsection: Natural Advantages and Disadvantages. Chances are you're already pretty strong in one or more of the three fundamentals, and weak and mediocre at more than one of them as well. Where your strengths and weaknesses lie will determine not just the quantity of your results with women, but also the type of results that you achieve. For instance, a man with an amazing lifestyle but poor action and poor communication will be surrounded by beautiful and interesting women, but he'll never hook up with any of them. Classic examples of this are rich or good-looking men who are still single and frustrated. They may have money, connections, power, and meet beautiful women regularly, or even have beautiful women approach them, but they're never able to capitalize on their opportunities. A man with no fear or anxiety with women will be able to approach and hook up with many women, but his effort to reward ratio will be poor and the quality of women will be worse. Often a lot of aspiring pickup artists fall into this category. They go out 5 or 6 nights a week, approach dozens of women, fail with almost all of them, but every once in a while they convince a drunk, sloppy girl to come home with them. A man with great communication skills but a lot of fear and a poor lifestyle will rarely meet or attract beautiful women, but the few times he does, he'll capitalize on his few opportunities. Most so-called normal guys or quote-unquote naturals are like this. They rarely see opportunities, but when they do come along, they take them and they do well. The problem with these men is that they never feel like they're in control of their love lives. They're always waiting for that next woman who's interested to come around. And sometimes they end up waiting quite a while. The three fundamentals are interesting in that they explain why a lot of men implement a lot of dating advice or self-improvement.